Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, January 11th. On this day in 1757, a child is born on the island of Nevis in the West Indies. His parents would have a troubled relationship. His father abandoned the family when he was just 10 years old. His mother died a year later. The boy would be left as an orphan and out on his own before he was 12. Yet from chaos he found strength. He began working as a clerk for Beekman & Kruger, a trading firm on the nearby island of St. Croix. After showing his intelligence and wide range of skills, his employer gave him a responsibility for managing the entire trading operation with ties to merchants around the globe. The boy gained an enormous suite of talents in finance, international trade, investments, banking, commodities, the trading of currencies, and other areas, which made him uniquely suited for greatness. After emigrating to America, he fought in the American Revolution as a patriot and later became the most trusted aide-de-camp to General George Washington. He later helped create the United States Constitution and form the structure of our republic. Subsequently, Washington made him our first Secretary of the Treasury, where he almost single-handedly built the structure for our banking and financial systems, promoting business, industry, and manufacturing, and forming the framework for the nation, which became the most successful country in the history of mankind. That man was Alexander Hamilton, one of the least understood yet most gifted of the founding fathers. He was born 260 years ago today. It's appropriate that today is Alexander Hamilton's birthday. Perhaps no government official had as profound an effect on American business and manufacturing as Hamilton, as he helped construct the environment which has helped American businesses to thrive. The Chamber of Commerce is an organization that Americans know as a friend and representative of business. Years ago, a well-known quote was, "The business of America is business." The Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry exists to help promote the interests of local businesses while enhancing interactions with individuals, government, and other chambers around the state and the entire nation. The mission of the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry is to be a member-driven entity of influence, providing effective connections that enhance advocacy, business development, and community investment in the Chester County area and the surrounding region. The vision of the chamber is to be the premier voice of business, acting as a catalyst for economic prosperity, and to be the developer of tomorrow's business and community leaders. Today we're speaking with Guy Chiracchi, President and CEO of the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry. He's here to tell us about the many ways in which the Chamber assists in the promotion of a healthy and vibrant business environment. Guy, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. You've set the bar quite high. I don't know that I can fill the shoes of Alexander Hamilton, but we do our best here at the Chamber.
Well, I heard you were a pole vaulter in college, so I think you can do it. But it's just a joke. But at any rate, how long has the Chamber, thank you for joining us, how long has the Chamber been in existence?
The Chester County Chamber is celebrating, we're about to celebrate our 25th anniversary. We began in through an agreement in the fall of 1991, and were officially recognized by the Pennsylvania Department of State in March of 1992.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on your anniversary. What was its original mission? I mean, what did the founders start out trying to accomplish?
It's a good question. What makes our chamber unique really is its founding. It was at a time where business and civic leaders came together and said that our economy here in this county was growing, both in its size and its diversity, from all corners, from the main line down to the mushroom country and with the growth growing biotech industry. So the sense was, while we had many successful regional chambers, we needed a countywide chamber to connect all these different industries, to connect this growing, large, vibrant economy, but also to make sure that our voice was heard in Harrisburg and Washington for economic issues, because, again, we were becoming no longer a rural or even an outskirts county, but we're one of the major driving economies in the state. And the civic and business leaders at times felt as though we needed a unifying voice to make sure that we were heard.
Now, your name is just slightly different from the typical chamber. I mean, you, instead of commerce, yours is business and industry. So it appears just from your name that you try to focus specifically on business, the actual industries involved. Tell us a little bit about the choice of that name.
Sure. Our name comes is sort of modeled after the state chamber. The Pennsylvania State Chamber is referred to as Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. And the slight difference would be the advocacy as compared to our friends with some of the neighborhood chambers that we work with. So it's not only looking out for the benefit of our members and making sure that our members have the opportunity to grow professionally and network, but really that advocacy component. So it's looking at making sure not only do members have a chance to do business with one another, but are we doing everything we can to help create an environment where businesses can grow and new businesses can start.
Excellent. Where are you located?
We are on Paoli Pike in Malvern in fabulous East Goshen Township Park. Folks may recognize us when they drive along Paoli Pike. It is a wonderful 250-year-plus old stone home that was retrofitted about 20 years ago by the members of the chamber at that time. It's a great building and a beautiful park.
You're probably not too far from the Paoli Battlefield, is that right?
That's correct. We're less than a mile.
Oh, excellent. Tell us a little bit about your staff, your facilities. How large are you in terms of employment?
So we have eight staff, and our offices are here, which also include conference center space and meeting room space, which we not only make available to our members, but are sometimes used by community groups and neighborhood organizations. And we work as a staff on everything from promoting our businesses and helping them with marketing and advertising to hosting events for networking, educational events, and then advocacy events to present them with opportunities to meet with elected officials. And then occasionally we try to have fun as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. In terms of your personal responsibilities, what are your typical weekly duties and activities as president and CEO?
No 2 weeks are the same, but there's usually a mix of going to events in Philadelphia, Harrisburg, or Washington, or across the region to be the external ambassador, if you will, of our chamber. Not only our members, making sure that their voices are heard, but the issues of concern, a lot of times, in essence, helping the commissioners or the other elected officials of the county make sure their issues are heard in Washington or Harrisburg or in Philadelphia. So a lot of it is serving as an ambassador. The other may be visiting or touring some of our businesses to learn more about, you know, how our mushroom farms work or what are some of the new advances going on in our bio firms. And then the other is meeting with different organizations, other chambers or other business-oriented groups, be it the Biotech Association, the Bar Association, the Medical Society, the Farmers Association, the Grange, whatever it might be. So a lot of external networking and then a lot of meeting with our members and then occasionally meeting with elected officials. As I said, no 2 weeks are the same, but they're there. And then there's certainly a good amount of going to chamber events and meeting with our members at the events we have in any given week.
Now, do you personally go to meetings of other chambers around the state or even around the country?
Yes. Our chamber was invited, as a matter of fact, within the last year, the United States Chamber, the U.S. Chamber has what they call a Council of 100. where they invite the CEOs of 100 of the what they view as the sort of more active or vibrant chambers across the nation. So I've been asked to participate in the U.S. Chambers Council of 100. So I meet with my peers from 99 other chambers from across the nation, and we meet either in Washington or on the road. In addition, I attend meetings of the Pennsylvania Chamber, the Philadelphia Chamber, which is really a regional chamber that they themselves extend from out in the suburbs down to Delaware and New Jersey, and then may occasionally go to events from some of our neighboring organizations in Delaware County, Montgomery County, and then our local community chambers that are very active, you know, Westchester, Phoenixville, or Exton, et cetera.
Excellent. That's quite a wide range of activities, and congratulations on being asked to the top 100. I'm not sure about the name. Is it Tom Donahue? Is the president of
Correct.
The U.S. Chamber?
Yes, Tom's been there for quite some time, and he really serves as the national spokesperson for economic development issues for the chambers.
Have you spent much time with him? Have you met him on occasion?
I've met him a few times. He is one of those people that not only is an effective spokesperson, but having done this for a while, he has a vast institutional knowledge and provides great context. So he is not only a spokesperson, but in many ways a mentor.
Excellent. You know, many people over the years have said a phrase which just kind of describes their yearnings for running a more efficient government. A lot of people said, I wish government were run more like a business. You probably hear that all the time. How does the chamber partner with local and regional businesses in helping business development? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In a lot of different ways. So in the broader sense, and that is being that spokesperson with elected officials, whether they're in Westchester, Harrisburg, or Washington, D.C. So the first way we help our businesses grow is by trying to be advocates for what we believe are policies or programs that will help business grow. So everything from revitalizing the Coatesville train station, revitalizing the Paoli train station, the widening and improvements on 202, and then certainly dealing with issues like tax and regulatory policy. We have been fighting tenaciously to make sure that the sales tax in Pennsylvania is not increased. We're very cognizant that Chester County borders the state of Delaware where there's no sales tax, so
yes,
we've been fighting against an increase in the sales tax. At the same time, so that's sort of the big picture as the spokesperson or the advocate. Internally, it really depends from business to business. There are times where our members will call upon us to ask for help with a ribbon cutting or promoting a new product or a new service, and we can do that through providing technical skills or offering them support on our social media platform. And then other times it's helping really a new business interact with others. And then occasionally it's about connecting. We have a business that provides X service and says they'd like to provide it to another member, and we try and see if we can find a connection to make them come together. So I think you look at those pieces of providing, obviously, dozens and dozens of events throughout the year where the members can meet to talk about topics, be they social or more substantive and educational, but also providing, you know, the second piece is providing the ability to help them connect and learn from each other. And then the third for us, which is really one of what makes us unique, is that advocacy piece. And hopefully between advocacy, education, and engagement, we've provided not only a sound investment for our members, but are making a positive difference here in the county.
Excellent. And I'm glad you mentioned the sales tax. I just spent some time in Washington, D.C. and in New York City. And if I believe I'm correct, the sales tax in both those places is right around 10%, which is, to many people, a little on the high side. And you mentioned that we're bordering Delaware where there is no sales tax, so competition is critical. We're about to take a brief break for commercial, but stay with us. We're talking with Guy Cherokee, the president and CEO of the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call, and they'll handle the rest. Podcast. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SirocCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
You're listening to WCHE 1520 AM, the Talk of Chester County. Stay tuned for what's next.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today, we're speaking with Guy Cherokee, President and CEO of the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry. Guy, before the chamber came into existence, what was the local business climate like? I mean, did you notice a measurable impact and improvement over the years as you became more involved with the local businesses?
Yeah, so there's really two things there, Gene. The first is that what was the climate like? I mean, the climate was the economy was growing by leaps and bounds, and not only growing in size, but growing in diversity. And that goes back to your earlier point of, you know, why did we come into existence? You had all of these different areas from the main line and the diversity there of financial services and banking and technology, the growing bio industry, the mainstay of the mushroom industry, which agriculture is still the largest segment of our economy. And manufacturing, you know, I remind everybody, we still make steel in Chester County. So the economy was growing and diverse. And where I think we've provided the service and provided a role has been doing two things. One is making sure that these growing and very different economies were talking to each other about common needs and common concerns, common opportunities, but also making sure the rest of the region and the rest of the state were aware of what was going on here and the issues that we needed, you know, and in part, you know, we go back to playing a role in helping with the creation of the 30 bypass, some of the improvements along the rail lines, the growth and the modernization, albeit taking a long time, on Route 202, and I think everyone's eyes now are at places like Route 1 and what we need down for the southern part of the county to deal with the population and the growth there. So I think those are the big ways where, you know, you sort of look at where we were 25 years ago and where we are now, and where we've tried to play a positive voice.
Sounds very interesting in terms of the range of your activities. I live in Kennett Square, which, as you know, is the mushroom capital of the world, and in southern Chester County, it seems you can't throw a rock too far without hitting a mushroom farm building. What is your interaction specifically with the mushroom industry?
Aside from the fact that the mushrooms are an essential part of all of my holiday meals because I'm the cook.
I love mushrooms.
And so I have had tours of several of the facilities to see not only how they're grown, but to talk about issues down there from transportation to workforce development, housing needs, and other issues, particularly compared to some of our neighbors in Maryland that would like to woo away some of our mushroom farmers. So I've done a number of tours, a number of events, and then really we've had a number of important meetings. Two of them I would bring to everybody's attention. One is we held a meeting, a round table for the mushroom industry with the Secretary of Agriculture and the Secretary of DEP, the environmental agency in Harrisburg, to talk about issues and concerns they had or opportunities they could have they might not be aware of through those agencies. So again, we're sort of bringing those people together so they can have the opportunity. The second was on the economic development front is we held a meeting with folks from the mushroom industry and a number of officials from PICO down at Tojo Mushrooms to talk about ways to expand the use of natural gas down into the Kennett Square area for the mushroom industry to lower costs. Because again, being that sort of, you know, champion of economic development and business development, you know, rule one, we don't want to lose anyone. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to make sure that all the folks in the mushroom industry, all of our farmers, are getting the opportunity to get access to the natural gas that's in Pennsylvania, you know, in our geography. So we had a very productive meeting there. So those are two, and gives you sort of an idea of some of the things we do. One is, you know, as the advocate, but the other is for economic development. And PICO was a great partner and willing to come down and talk about, rather than necessarily getting access to one farm, but bringing it to an industry. So we're hopeful that that will happen, because if we can lower the cost for those folks, that means that they're more likely to stay and grow here and maybe even hire more people.
Excellent. You mentioned some concerns, specifically with the mushroom industry. You're probably aware of what they call the forid fly problem. Yeah. In some of the surrounding areas. What's been your interaction on that issue?
Largely been trying to make sure that the folks from the various oversight agencies, be it in Washington or Harrisburg, were aware and that the folks on the ground were getting the technical support. I will say that one of the fascinating things that's somewhat unique, people may not realize this, but while it's certainly a free market and each of the industries, each of the mushroom farmers down there would love to make more money each year than they did the last, and they'd each like to grow, there is a sense of collegiality, and when they deal with common issues that would harm the industry, there is a sense of fraternity there that's really makes it easy to work with them, and it's very refreshing. They found that balance of free market competition and at the same time sharing best practices with each other. So we, again, have been sort of that person to make sure that that they have access to the best information and that their concerns are being heard, but also never forgetting to remind the folks, particularly in Harrisburg, that agriculture is not only the largest industry in Chester County, it's the largest industry in Pennsylvania. It's one of the things that makes us unique, and we need to make sure that our ears are open to their concerns.
Absolutely. How do you actually measure the impact that you have on the local business community? It's probably somewhat nebulous from year to year, but how do you actually, you know, come up with a gauge of how well you've been performing?
Yeah, in this era of analytics, it's sometimes not one that fits into it. So the way we tend to do it is, first of all, like any business, so on a day-to-day basis, we run this as a business. You know, are we generating more money each year than the year before? Are more people attending our events the year before? So we look at those measurables. The other is more what I would say, I don't know, anecdotal or, you know, the gut, which is, do people call us to make sure that either we're a resource or an expert, or we're being invited to the process. So when the county commissioners are working on their various studies like Vista 2025 or Landscapes 3, we're asked to participate, as many other important segments of our economy are. When elected officials in Harrisburg or want to get feedback on the sales tax or the aviation industry or mass transit, do they call us? So one of the ways, obviously, is like you or I or anyone would run a business. You know, are we making more money? Are people attending our events? But the other is that are we being called upon to be an expert? Are we being called upon to sit at the table when important things are discussed? And frankly, the other side of that is when we ask for meetings to talk to elected officials, do we get them? And we're very fortunate. We not only have very important elected officials, but they're very responsive. So that's the way we measure. And please understand, it's not that if we ask, is the answer always what we want? But we want to make sure that our voice is always heard. Everybody would like to win all the time, but in the business, particularly of advocacy, I think you know you can't always win, but you would like to always be heard, and we want to make sure that our members are always heard.
Absolutely. Just curious, you mentioned interaction with government officials. Does anyone from the chamber, your chamber, ever get asked to testify in court?
No, not in court, but in before legislative panels. Yes, in Harrisburg and Washington, we have on a number of issues from the sales tax, regulatory issues, to testify and present letters in front of various agencies like the Department of Environmental Protection, the Department of Transportation, SEPTA. So we are frequently writing, either giving live testimony or submitting written testimony throughout the year on various issues. We also work with our neighboring chambers, either in this region or across the state or across the nation, in sending letters to the U.S. Department of Labor or elected officials. Mm-hmm. That's a significant part of what we do, and that happens quite frequently in a wide variety of tax and labor and transportation issues.
Excellent. Do you ever interact with the U.S. Small Business Administration or the Department of Commerce?
The U.S. Small Business, yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we've had their administrator attend our annual small business dinner, which comes up later this month on January 25th. But their officials attend our events. We actually had a roundtable event with the local office. The federal agencies all have what we call field offices or regional offices. Many of them for the Mid-Atlantic region are in Philadelphia. Small business is fairly unique. They have an office in King of Prussia, which is nearby. So we do a lot with them, and also in terms of referring our businesses to them to talk about different loan programs. The Department of Commerce, not so much. We tend to interact with them when we're looking for data because they're sort of the nation's warehouse of data from employment figures to economic trends. Mm-hmm. So they're a great resource to us. But in terms of face-to-face advocacy or engagement, it's much more with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Sure. What projects or activities do you have planned for the upcoming weeks or months in 2017?
So 2017, is both a look back and a look ahead, and by that, go back to the beginning of our conversation. This is our 25th birthday. So as we look ahead to a year of various events to help small businesses or to help our members develop professionally or to see what new developments may be happening in Washington with the incoming administration, it'll also be a look back to remember where we came from and to thank our leaders, starting with the late Senator Bob Thompson, who was our first president. So all of our events throughout the year will have that flavor of both things. We'll take a moment to look back to 1992 and the time between 92 and now, whether it's old pictures or recognizing those officials, those business and civic leaders, but also looking ahead to the new challenges, which, as I said, begin in Washington with an incoming administration and what changes may be coming down the pike and everything from health care to labor issues.
Excellent. We just have about a minute or so left. Do you ever have guest speakers or visiting lecturers to come to the chamber to talk about business development, economic growth, or related issues?
Yes, all the time. As a matter of fact, we had an event just yesterday. We had an economic forecast event where we had the opportunity to showcase some of our member experts. We had expert economic analysts from Moody's, QVC, and Vanguard. So we have our larger events where we have spokespeople, our upcoming small business dinner on the 25th of January. We're going to have the chief medical officer from Independence Blue Cross talk about the huge future of healthcare and how small businesses can take advantage of that. So we have speakers a lot, and the great part is in most cases we're able to use our own members because we have such a wide and deep bench of talent.
Excellent. Tell our listeners how they can visit your website. Where should they go?
It's the Chester County Chamber of Business and Industry, so it's cccbi.org, cccbi.org, and you can learn about our events and how to join, and if you have questions or how we can help your business, let us know.
Excellent. Guy, you've been great. You really laid out a wide range of activities that you're involved with and many things coming up in the year ahead. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, January 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with Arch Hunter, a teacher of American history for many years at Marple Newtown High School. Thank you all for joining us today for Living History.